Good evening. I'd like to start off by thanking Austin for asking me to speak. He asked me over the summer, and it sounded like a good opportunity to me to preach the word, to give a lesson, and to get a little bit of experience with a bigger congregation. I'd also like to thank the guys who helped me out by leading singing, saying prayers, reading part of God's word for us. As the reading showed, we're going to be talking about Joshua tonight. The topic I was given was Stand Firm with God Our Father. And I want to look at Joshua's story and how it relates to us as Christians. Joshua was in a unique position. He was the aide and the servant of Moses throughout the Exodus. He was there whenever they were wandering in the wilderness. And he was the second leader that Israel had after the Exodus happened. Moses had led them out of slavery. He had brought them the law from God that became known as the law of Moses in everyday life for the Israelites later, whenever during Jesus' time. Matthew 8:4, Jesus refers to it. The law is something that Moses commanded the Israelites. The fact that it came from Moses gave it a lot of weight. Moses was a high character in this history of Israel. He held a lot of sway. He was regarded with great esteem and great respect. And it was because of the things that Moses did in his life, the things that he did, the things that he brought them. Moses was the man that God chose to speak to and to show signs to the Israelites for 40 years. He went to Pharaoh, the king of the known world, whenever the Exodus was happening, and he spoke to him. He gave these signs. He warned him of the plagues, and then he carried out the plagues with Aaron through God's power. Moses was there whenever the Red Sea was parted. He was the one who God was operating through during that. And Moses went up on the mountain and spoke to God as no one else had before. He spoke to him in person. Moses' face glowed whenever he came down from the mountain because of what he had beheld. And so Moses had all of this great experience. He had all of these tales that were from his time as the leader, and he became this legendary character pretty much. He was, you know, the ultimate of what it meant to be a prophet of God. He had done so many great things, and he had gone through so many trials with the people of God. And now, after Moses' death, it becomes Joshua's turn to lead the people. Not only that, he wasn't leading in the same capacity that Moses had. He was leading the people through the conquest, to take the promised land that God had given them. And there had been battles whenever Moses was the leader, but not on the scale that Joshua was expected to follow through with. They were taking over this land from people that had lived there for hundreds and hundreds of years, and there were going to be many battles, and there was going to be a lot of struggle that he was leading them through. And Joshua was facing this after following the example that Moses had set. Joshua was faced with a great task. He had to fill the place of one of the greatest men to follow God, to lead people that there had ever been. Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 through 12, sums it up pretty well, if you want to turn there with me. Starting in verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 34, it says about Moses, "And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." So there we have from the Bible the list of Moses' credentials, the things that he did, the wonders that were done through him as a servant of God. And Joshua was supposed to follow that. I'm not so sure that I feel like I meet the expectations whenever I'm following other Bible students from Freed. There have been some great speakers here this semester on Wednesday nights. And you know, there's a lot of stress whenever you come after someone who's done a good lesson. You know, there's expectations that are set, and you're supposed to perform to about the same level. And so that causes stress from these expectations. But that can't be anything compared to what Joshua was feeling after following Moses, something that he had never done before, something he had watched, he had witnessed firsthand, and he had to meet that. He had to step up and become what Moses was, what had been, and what he was leaving empty. So Joshua had a lot of stress put on him from these expectations that Moses set. Like I said, Joshua had been a firsthand witness to all of these things. He was the servant. He was the aide of Moses through all of these things. He went up with Moses partway on the mountain whenever he was given the Ten Commandments. He got to see the Red Sea parted. He saw all of the plagues. But that's not the same as being the one who's in charge. That's not the same as being the one who's in the driver's seat. I had seen my parents drive for 15 years. You know, you're sitting there, you sometimes get to ride in the passenger seat whenever they drive. But whenever it comes time that you have a learner's permit and they're sitting in the passenger seat and you're behind the wheel, it's a whole different thing. There's responsibility on you, there's expectations, there's rules that you have to meet, and it causes a lot of stress. There's all these problems that you have. But the reason that you have a learner's permit is your parent is always right there beside you. They're in the passenger seat. They're there to make sure that you are doing what you need to be doing, and they're there to help you do your job. In the same way, God promised Joshua that he would be there with him. Moses had all these things. He got to speak to God face to face. He would never, there was never going to be a prophet quite like Moses had been until Jesus came. There wasn't someone who had the same exact relationship that Moses did with God. But God promised that he would be with Moses. He promised that he would be with Joshua the same way he was with Moses. I'm going to read through the scripture reading again, Joshua 1, verses 5 through 9. It said, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So Joshua was told to be strong and courageous. And it's good to hear things like that, to hear encouraging words, to be told what it is you should do, and to have encouragement from those around you. But Joshua had a huge reason to have this courage, to have this strength, because in the next verses, God said, "I will be with you." That's what mattered. It didn't matter what Joshua was, who Joshua was, what he would do. It mattered that he stood with God. He said that he would be with him in the same way that he was with Moses. God promised him his presence, and in return, God asked him to do what Moses had done, to hold to the laws that Moses had given the people from God. He was told that he needed to stick to what God commanded through Moses, and by doing so, he would be successful. If we look at verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." And usually whenever people reference Joshua 1, usually verse 9, it says, "Be strong and courageous." A lot of people use it whenever you're talking like at a graduation. Someone's at a large point in their life. They're at a milestone in their life, and they're going forward on their own. And usually a lot of people talk about that in success the way we measure it. But the word doesn't mean financial success. It doesn't mean to be successful as we might measure that in the world. It's used in a way that means being successful at the proper endeavors of life. Following God's commands and encouraging others to do the same was what God expected of Joshua, that he would be successful in that if he held to what God commanded. The most important part of the scripture is the task that God gives to Joshua. He says, he tells him to follow all that he had given him, to follow the law, not to turn from it to the right or to the left, and that that way he would be successful. So Joshua is in a position of leadership. He's asked to stand with God because God was going to stand by him, and there's not a better reason than that. This is always been so important when we look at stories in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New, that it doesn't matter who these people are that God has selected. It doesn't matter before who they were. It matters who is with them. Because if we look back at all of the great leaders that we've seen throughout the Bible, if we look at Abraham, that he had a humble beginning. He was just a man living in a different country, and God called him and told him to go somewhere, that he promised him land, he promised him descendants. And it didn't matter that Abraham hadn't been anyone before. It mattered who he stood with. When we look at King David, he was just the son of a shepherd, and he helped keep those flocks. You know, his brothers were the ones who were soldiers. They were out at fighting wars. But David was watching sheep. And it didn't matter that he was just a shepherd. It mattered that God chose him as the king to be over God's people, that he was going to be with him and that he promised him, "I will make you a king." It didn't matter that Saul had been a persecutor who was killing Christians, that he was going around doing what he thought was what God intended for him. It mattered that Jesus came to him in a vision and said, "Paul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He was going to make him into someone who was great. And Paul wrote most of our New Testament. He wrote so many great lessons. He influenced so many people in his life as a Christian. But it mattered who he stood with. He stood with God. The apostles also. It didn't matter that they were simple fishermen, that they weren't educated men, that they didn't know everything there was to know about the law, that they didn't have everything, they didn't have great wealth. It mattered that they were with Jesus. Moses, going back to his example and Joshua following that immediately, didn't feel confident in his abilities when God called him in Exodus chapter 3. If you want to turn there, we'll be looking at verses 10 through 12. It says, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." God didn't even bother to answer what Moses had said, that "Who am I?" He says, "I will be with you." God answers it with what matters. He knows that Moses is worried about his reputation. He brings up that he doesn't speak well, that he's not eloquent. But that doesn't matter because God is the one who is with him. God would give him the words. God gave him the signs that he needed to prove who he was, and he gave him the knowledge that he did need. So Moses wasn't eloquent. He wasn't brave. But now he's remembered as one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history. It didn't have to do with Moses being a great man. It didn't have to do with him being well-educated. It didn't have to do with him being a great speaker or any great leader, any ability that he possessed himself. It had to do with him following what God commanded. His leadership only faltered when he failed to listen to God. Whenever he was getting water for the Israelites, he didn't do it in exactly the way that God asked. And that was whenever he fell from God's graces. He stopped being the leader that he needed to be, and he was no longer going to be allowed to enter the promised land. But always that is humanity's problem, that we fall whenever, that the only reason we fall is because we turn away from God. We wander away from his path. We don't stick with what he has commanded us. So Joshua had all of this pressure. He had all of this looking at him. He had a nation to lead. He had a country. He had a world to conquer, basically. But he didn't have to do it alone. He had God on his side as long as he was on God's side. So how does this apply to us as Christians? I think some of you can understand where I'm going to be going with this. We as Christians have a great task laid upon us. We look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. This is Jesus talking to the apostles. This is the last few words of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we look at this, and we have nearly an identical challenge to what Joshua had. They were given this great task. Joshua was given a task of conquering the land that Israel was to inherit. And we are to be going out into the entire world and making disciples, to make a much different conquering of the world. We're supposed to be making disciples out of all people and teaching them to do what God commanded us to do, just as Joshua was supposed to help them stick to the law of Moses that God had commanded. So we have the same sort of challenge, and along with that, we have the same sort of promise. At the second half of verse 20, Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus, as God, promised his presence to all Christians to pursue their goal of conquering the world and making them followers of Christ. He doesn't need us to be great warriors. He doesn't need us to be great speakers. He doesn't need us to be these great leaders. He asks only that we be great followers. He asks that we trust in him and that we stand with God. In this pursuit, we need to have the same strength and courage that God told Joshua to have. And it's for the same reason, because we have the master of the universe on our side. He is the one in charge, and he is the one who will help us through all the trials that we face. To end, I would like to look at Romans 8, verse 31. This is Paul talking, and he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And that's what matters. It doesn't matter who we are, it matters who we're with. We stand with God by following his commandments, by not compromising where we need to stand strong. We need to be what God asks us to be, and that is followers of him, to stick to his commandments, to stand in his word, and to stand with God, our Father. We simply have to stand firm with him. If you need to take that step to be at God's side, to stand with him, we ask that you come forward as we offer this invitation song. You can be baptized. If you have been baptized, but you need to refocus your life on standing with God, to make sure where you stand is beside him. Come forward and we can offer prayer for you.